Welcome to the Catholic Communications Network's Lent and Easter Reflections, fourth Sunday of Lent. In a moment, we'll listen to the Gospel reading, and then we'll hear the thoughts of Bishop John Arnold, Auxiliary Bishop of Westminster. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41.
As he went along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should have been born blind?" "Neither he nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "He was born blind so that the works of God might be revealed in him. As long as day lasts, we must carry out the work of the one who sent me. The night will soon be here, when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made a paste with the spittle, put this over the eyes of the blind man, and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." The name means "one who has been sent." So he went off and washed and came back, able to see. His neighbours and the people who used to see him before, for he was a beggar, said, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "Yes, it is the same one." Others said, "No, but he looks just like him." The man himself said, "Yes, I am the one." So they said to him, "Then how is it that your eyes were opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made a paste, daubed my eyes with it, and said to me, 'Go off and wash at Siloam.' So I went, and when I washed, I gained my sight." They asked, "Where is he?" He answered, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. It had been a Sabbath day when Jesus made the paste and opened the man's eyes. So when the Pharisees asked him how he had gained his sight, he said, "He put a paste on my eyes, and I washed, and I can see." Then some of the Pharisees said, "That man cannot be from God. He does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a sinner produce signs like this?" And there was division among them. So they spoke to the blind man again, "What have you to say about him yourself, now that he has opened your eyes?" The man answered, "He is a prophet." However, the Jews would not believe that the man had been blind without first sending for the parents of the man who had gained his sight, and asking them, "Is this man really the son of yours, who you say was born blind? If so, how is it that he is now able to see?" His parents answered, "We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see, we don't know, nor who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is old enough, let him speak for himself." His parents spoke like this out of fear of the Jews, who had already agreed to ban from the synagogue anyone who should acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. This was why his parents said, "He is old enough, ask him." So the Jews sent for the man again and said to him, "Give glory to God. We are satisfied that this man is a sinner." The man answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, and now I can see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He replied, "I have told you once, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it all again? Do you want to become his disciples yourselves?" At this they hurled abuse at him. "It is you who are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man replied, "That is just what is so amazing. You don't know where he comes from, and he has opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but God does listen to people who are devout and do his will. Ever since the world began, it is unheard of for anyone to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't have been able to do anything." They retorted, "Are you trying to teach us, and you a sinner through and through ever since you were born? and they ejected him. Jesus heard they had ejected him, and when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Sir," the man replied, "tell me who he is, that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him. He is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and worshipped him. Jesus said, "It is for judgment that I have come into this world, so that those without sight may see, and those with sight may become blind." Hearing this, some Pharisees who were present said to him, "So we are blind, are we?" Jesus replied, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty. But since you say, 'We can see,' your guilt remains."
Today's reflection on the Gospel comes from Bishop John Arnold, Auxiliary Bishop of Westminster.
The Gospel passage for the fourth Sunday of Lent is quite a lengthy passage from the Gospel of St. John, but it also sets a very beautiful scene for us where we learn a great deal of what John was about in writing his Gospel. Because John was writing almost at the beginning of the second century, a long time after Jesus had risen from the dead and ascended to the Father, and a certain confusion had arisen in the community for which he was writing about exactly what Jesus had done and achieved in his ministry and who he was. So John sets about proclaiming all these titles of Jesus. He's the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the light. He's the shepherd of the sheepfold and the good shepherd. All these different titles which show that God manifests his glory through Jesus, his son. And when we come to the miracles in St. John's Gospel, they're all about proclaiming the glory of God. They've often got no other purpose than to show the richness and the power and the glory of God himself as manifested in Christ. And as we come to this passage, which is in chapter 9 of John's Gospel, we find a young man who has been blind from birth. And the Pharisees want to ask this question, which represents so much of their tradition, about if a man is ill, or if he dies young, or even if he's poor, is it because of his sins or the sins of his forefathers? And Jesus blows a great gap straight through that and says it was neither he nor his parents who sinned. He was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus is having nothing to do with this idea of suffering in this world is as an immediate consequence of his own sins or someone else's sins. And he cures the man. Very simply, he makes some paste and he puts some paste on the eyes of the blind man, and he tells him to go and wash the paste off in the pool of Siloam, and the man can see again. And this really puts the Pharisees into a turmoil, because it doesn't line up with their thinking at all. They think that Jesus couldn't possibly be a good man. For a start, he'd done this on the Sabbath day, so he wasn't observing the Sabbath rules. And why was it that he'd achieved this great work? Who was he anyway? And the Pharisees then speak to the parents, they speak to the man himself. But the simple truth for the man himself is, "I was blind, and I don't know how he did it or why he did it, but I can now see." That is the truth. And there is a great lesson for us, I think, that Jesus doesn't always work in logical or rational ways in our life. We find that things have happened. We don't need to explain how or why, but it's God at work within us, and we draw the benefits from that without needing to unravel the mystery of God and explain it away in our rational and common sense way. So the power of this miracle is God showing that he can work in incredible ways, and we don't need to find the reasons why. There's a twist at the end of the gospel, which is Jesus' reply to the Pharisees when they say, "We're not blind, surely." And he says, "Blind? If you were, you would not be guilty. But you say, 'We see.' So your guilt remains." And that puts a whole different dimension on this gospel. if we can see what is around us in the world, which is wrong, we must act on it. We have to be the agents of Jesus Christ and carry on his ministry. If we're blind to something, then we can't be blamed for allowing it to go on. But if we see the troubles and the injustice in our world, then we have to act, or we are guilty for not doing so.
Bishop John Arnold with today's Lenten Reflection. For the latest news, resources and information from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk. For our full Lent and Easter section, click on Events.